Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 25th of October 2020. Yeah? We will continue with the book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are at page 205, part 3, from 1 to infinity, realization through Bodhisattva practices. Okay. We'll continue from there. We'll continue from where we stop. Turn to page 207. The title is From One to Infinity, Realization through Bodhisattva Practices. So this is part 3. Then the actual page is page 207. Through the concerted effort of Tzuji volunteers around the world, let us use this one thought to connect sentient beings' mind and form infinity blessings for a future of world peace, for a world without disasters. So this is the author's visioning. So she made this wish to develop the concerted effort of all Tzuji volunteers around the world. Then, with one thought, to connect all sentient beings' mind to form infinite blessing for the future of world peace and a world without disaster. Through the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, the author said she realized how one can become infinity and how infinity originates from the one. So she gave this meaning. She gave this example to explain the meaning. Once a seed is planted, so long as it has sunlight, water and fertilizer, it can take root, sprout, grow, and even blossom and bear fruits. The heap of fruits can also produce countless seeds, which can themselves grow countless fruits. This countless fruit began with a single seed. So as long as our heart have love and our mind have good thoughts, and we remain devoted to sentient beings, after a long period of time, we will accumulate many blessed causes and good affinity. We will be rewarded with fruits of good karmic retribution. However, all of these karmic causes and conditions still arose from the one seed. So this is the way the author gave as an analogy or example of why from one the infinity can arise, and how infinity they arise from the one. Then she continued. 50 years ago, I saw a body of a lady or woman who had died after a miscarriage. After they took her body away, there was still a puddle of blood on the hospital floor. I felt such sorrow from the scene that I vowed to call for people's love, people's loving heart to help others. Now, Tzuji in Taiwan and abroad promptly brings relief to those who suffer. This enormous mission arose from the feeling of sorrow I felt at that moment. That single thought became the force that brought together many loving people and created today's Tzuji world. Wherever Tzuji goes, its mission is to inspire compassion and develop wisdom. So this is a very noble vision, to inspire compassion and develop wisdom. In these stories, volunteer go to the most grief-stricken or stricken places to help people who are suffering. For example, they show compassion and wisdom in providing charity and education to those who live in extreme poverty in South Africa and remote places of Australia, and to victims of devastating earthquake in Iran. From one to infinity is how Ziji plants the seed of love among people they visit in all corners of the world. The love and compassion that these people develop inspire those around them. In turn, these people will do the same until the seed are spread infinitely. Thus, from one to infinity. So this is one of the way to explain. Actually, I have explained before in the past how from zero come one, then one comes infinity. So what does the zero represent? Zero means the source, original nature, the oneness nature. That's why zero is a very unique number. It's neither positive or negative. There is no duality. All things arise from that source, the original. So from zero, that nature, arise the first thought of ignorance. Then the first thought of ignorance continue to condition subsequent thought and subsequent birth and death. That's how life and existence propel. So from zero come one, then one to the infinite birth creates the infinity. Then the other understanding is, we always heard this saying, all is one, one is all. This is very true. Because even though the individual beings that we see, including you and me, we may be like a single speck in this massive existence or entire universe, where there are countless billions and billions and billions of beings. But this single speck is also vital. That's why from this one, the infinity arises. Because without your existence through the eons, the causes and conditions of the universe today will not be what it is today. So the universe is what it is today is because of the summation of all the beings over that long period of existence that propagated and created the causes and conditions for this thing to evolve and become what it is today. So, without you, the universe would not be what it is today. Without the universe what it is today, you will not be what you are today. So this understanding is very beautiful. In the early days when I reflected and contemplated, then I realized it's so beautiful. From zero come one, then one comes infinity. And one is all. All is one. You understand this truly means you understand creation. You understand the law of dependent origination. You understand how things arise and how things become the way it is. Then you can accept things as they are. The reality is like the Buddha's advice. When condition is already set, things will be the way it is, means whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already taught us. He said, as far as life is concerned, existence is concerned, We are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So if you look at life and existence, if that is the true statement that he has realized, we can put it to test and check. Then whatever causes and condition behind the arising of things is definitely due to our own karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So a lot of things that arise and happen is related to our karma. Of course, including the karma of all beings and existence. So this profound deep understanding is very vital in the understanding of the Buddha Dharma. Then when we understand this, we will have the wisdom to live life. Then like the Buddha's explanation, everything is suchness. Tathāgata, see things as they are. This is the way things are. Condition already said, things will go that way. It cannot be otherwise. It will follow nature's law. So we have to be at peace with every moment. Whatever that arises within the moment is the reality then, because the causes and conditions are reset. It cannot be otherwise. So first is to understand this deeply, profoundly, then develop the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. That's the reason why Krishnamurti defined meditation in a very beautiful way. He said, meditation is the choiceless awareness of what is, means the reality. Not the way we interpret it, we perceive it, is to see things as they are, the reality. That's why direct knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom, to live life. So if we can accept that reality, we have wisdom through acceptance, through wisdom, we are at peace. Then life moves. Life goes on, and what we have to do is to act, and we have to act with wisdom, understanding, not to act with our knowledge, with our memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. These are not wisdom. These are our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, our scars of memory, our insecurity, our phobia. And all this has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion before we are enlightened, before we awaken. So the way to act is the wisdom way. We have to act according to wisdom, which is an understanding. And when you have awakened, you have the Dhamma, and you have the right view, you have the right understanding. That's how you act. Acting according to wisdom. And the wisdom way is the Noble Eightfold Path. But that is the path that the Buddha taught us. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why those who know how to act, they will act with understanding, wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. And that is the ultimate understanding, most profound. You need to have this understanding. So this particular chapter, from one come infinity, then infinity comes from the one. Then one is all. All is one. The explanation I gave to you is a more complete one. And you can understand this means you have penetrated the Dhamma. Then I rejoice, my nature rejoice. Then you will become beautiful. You will become a blessing to all. Okay, good. We continue with the next chapter. The next chapter is chapter 9, from charity to international relief. So this chapter is teaching compassion to develop wisdom. Okay, then we go on to the next page. Okay. So cultivating the feel of the heart. This is the subheading. Bodhisattva Paul, the stream of supreme great vehicle on sentient beings root of goodness, spread the seed of goodness over the fields of merit and lead all to develop the sprout of Bodhi. Bodhi is wisdom. This chapter 1 is very beautiful on virtue from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. After this book, we will go into that book, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. It's a Pure Land teaching. It's also a Mahayana teaching. And this one is a very beautiful teaching. The chapter 1 on virtue is so powerful. The true virtue of a great being is very beautiful. So this preface on top that the author writes is also very good. She said, Bodhisattvas, they pour the stream of supreme great vehicle, means they take the bodhisattva path to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So they pour the stream of the supreme great vehicle on sentient beings. Roots of goodness, spread the seeds of goodness over the field of merits and lead all the developed and lead all to develop the sprout of Bodhi. Then we go to chapter 1, Virtue, Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Nowadays, people's minds are chaotic. The reason why they are chaotic is because they are very heedless. They don't have the Dhamma, they did not train their mundane mind, so they are not able to be heedful. So before attempting to pacify the mind of others, we must first keep our heart and mind calm. At the same time, we should diligently till the field of our own mind, constantly irrigating with Dhamma water, and sow the seed of goodness to develop the fields of merit and virtue. In other words, we should spread seeds of goodness around the entire world or planet. There is an impoverished community in Australia. Its residents have been discriminated against and treated unfairly for a long time. So they became resentful and lawless. And people do not dare to go into that community to help them. Trapped in a vicious cycle, the residents became even poorer and more resentful. Many are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and their children suffer from poverty and hunger. This situation is truly heartbreaking. Nevertheless, Suji volunteers they are quite brave. They reach out to help this community with sincere love and patience. Every day, they go to the local bakeries to collect unsold bread to deliver to the people in that community. They also provide them with clothes and other daily necessities and are concerned about their children's schooling. In the beginning, the residents were hostile, and rejected Tzu-ji's help, but they gradually came to accept and trust the volunteer. Now they are happy and grateful whenever they see vehicle with Tzu-ji logos or volunteers in blue and white uniform. Tzu-ji volunteers continue to support and care for these residents. They teach and guide them to set goals in their life and encourage them to work hard to become self-sufficient. Many residents have begun to quit using drugs. Love indeed has no barrier. It transcends race, culture, and language. Volunteers there have been working with a family in which the mother was raising several young children by herself because the father, who was violent and addicted to drugs, had been arrested and incarcerated. She was very depressed, and her house became very dirty and cluttered. Tzu-ji volunteer visited her house or home to express their concern. They asked the mother why she did not clean her home or house. "It's too dirty. I don't feel like cleaning it," she answered. So the volunteers rolled up their sleeves and began cleaning. They took to the recycling center what she was willing to get rid and furnish her with what she lacked. The volunteer asked one of the children in the house, "Why are you not in school?" The boy replied, "My clothes are so dirty that I don't dare to go to school." Out of love and compassion, our volunteers remedied the situation. They acquired a donated washing machine and delivered it to the family so they would be able to do their laundry. After all their work, the house was clean and bright. The family environment became neat and comfortable. With their action, Tzu-ji volunteers showed the family that they could have a neat and comfortable living space as long as they are willing to keep it clean. After that, the mother was able to clean the house on her own, and her 10-year-old daughter would help out too. Even the uncle, who just stood by and watched the Tzu-ji volunteer clean the house in the beginning, eventually joined. He said, "In the future, I want to be a volunteer like you guys." This is a display of love which can inspire and motivate people. Our society is like this family. Through the years, this family has allowed dirt and filth to accumulate, just as society has allowed the environment to be polluted. So in the end, is it because it has become too filthy to clean that we no longer even bother? If we get involved in such matter and engage with people, we will learn and grow a lot. We should mindfully cultivate the field of our mind so that we can nurture seeds of love and contribute whenever there is suffering in the world. So this is the Tzu-ji's way. Through helping all these neglected people or neglected part of society, they try to give them hope and make them understand that if you have the will, there is a way to turn things around. And for them, I think Tzu-ji has done it in a very appropriate and beautiful way. They don't just give money to them, no. Like that act of trying to help them with the food is very good. What they say is very true. I have observed many of these things happening even in Malaysia. A lot of our bakery shops, most of them, if they cannot sell overnight bakery or what, they would have to throw them away. And in fact, a lot of industry who live by certain SOP or principles, they don't keep overnight food and all those things. I know of one cafe, the lady owner also told me the same thing. He wants the food to be fresh because it will be harmful to the kitchen too if you leave overnight food behind overnight things. So most of the time they have to throw, they have to clear. So if you have this Sushi volunteer who go around and collect all this, even though they throw, but they are still very good standards of food for these poor people. So if you can gather all this and feed it to the poor and the needy, is indeed a very good way of helping society to recycle all this food that would have otherwise gone to waste. Then help cleaning up the house and also checking with the children why she is not going to school. They discovered the problem was the uniform was too dirty. So they managed to get somebody who donated the secondhand, I think, washing machine. Then I think it was still functional. So they must have checked and serviced it, then send it over there and like donate to them for their use. So to poorer people, poor sector of the society, this is already something very luxurious. Because for poor villages, poor society, backward society, all this to them is luxurious. And this should be the way society should learn to actually help and make all these things possible. So this is not just like getting money, donation, then throw money, buy things for them and all those things. No. That one during really suffering, yes, immediate. But after that, what you should do is you should actually learn to support all this without having to come out with real donors' money or whatever. So it's all the volunteers' service and of course the operating cost. And Sichi is willing to fund all those things. So this could be a model for other NGOs or other, we call it volunteer groups that may want to help in certain way. So this can be ideas and model for people to work on so that our society can be a better society. So that more and more people appreciate the work that Sichi and all these people do to help the needy, to benefit the poor and the really suffering for those who are confronted with the first noble truth realities. Okay, we will move on. We will continue. We must work together in unity. When the collective compassion of many people comes together, this boundless great compassion has the ability to save and transform all living, all beings. So this is very true. So as an individual, there's not much you can do, but as a group, as a collective group of helpers or volunteers, then you can do more things. This is what the Buddha's teachings is all about. The Buddha teaches us in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yijing. Australian 慈济 volunteers are doing just that. They inspire people with sincere love and allow everyone to experience constant joy and profound wondrous truth. So they must have done a great job in Australia. When we inspire people with our love, we are nourishing the field of their mind to bring out their love. As the seed of love take root, germinate and grow, those who suffer will be relieved of their suffering when they are on their own feet. Again, they will help others. And when they do that, they will feel refreshed and attain Dhamma joy. Thus, we lead all sentient beings to spread the seed of goodness over the field of blessings, and we lead all to develop the sprout of Bodhi, so they achieve their aim. Okay, then the next chapter, the old man's mentor. This one also, I believe, must be a good chapter. The old man's mentor. I also don't know what it is, but I haven't read. Okay, we'll go through. Bodhisattvas are genuine spiritual friends for all living beings. And this one also comes from chapter 1, Virtue, Sutra of Infinite Meaning. You must listen to this. This one is very good. Bodhisattvas are genuine spiritual friends. That's why we are called Kayamitas, spiritual friends. For all living beings, we are the great field of blessings for all living beings. They are the unsummoned teachers for all living beings. They are the safe, stable, and joyful refuge for all living beings. They are the source of relief, protection, and great support for all living beings. So this is a famous quote from Chapter 1, Virtue of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Later on, we will go into that book and you will see a lot more beautiful sayings or teachings. When we put our good intention into action, even an unkempt living environment can be changed in an instant into a heaven or a pure land. It all depends on our mindset. This is very true. If you have goodness, good intention, you can transform things. You can bring about a great instant transformation to society and to benefit living beings. In Zhanghua County, Taiwan, there is an old man who lives alone. He often rides his bike to exercise with his friend and visit his neighbor to chat with them. Although he is quite healthy, he does not know how to do household chores. I always pronounce wrongly. Chores. Chores means get into trouble. Household chores. Chores. I must learn this word, chores. Over the years, trash filled his house and his yard became overgrown with weeds. When Cixi volunteers were visiting lonely seniors to bring them care and comfort, they noticed the old man's unkempt house and decided to go and visit him. They inquired, "Grandpa, would you like us to clean your house for you?" He replied, "No thanks, I'm used to it." It appeared that he did not want to trouble the volunteers, but the volunteers could not bear to see him live like that. They continued to visit him, kept him company, spoke kind words, and befriended him. Several months later, the old man finally agreed. "Okay, fine," he said. "If you really want to clean it for me, you can clean up the yard. Let me have a drink." Zhang Hua, Ciji volunteers, quickly mobilized community volunteers to clean up his yard. Since the area outside his house has not been cleaned for several decades, weeds were everywhere, and there were piles of rotten bamboos. After they finished cleaning the yard, they asked, "Will you please open the door so that we can go clean inside the house?" The old man immediately locked the door and refused to let anyone in. Faith Corps members tried their best to convince him, but the old man said, "No, thank you. I'm fine living like this." Yet, looking through a window, they could see that it was a mess inside. So Ciji volunteer were concerned about the old man. So they continued to visit him. A few months later, the old man finally opened his heart and let them in to clean his home. Ciji volunteer first removed all the trash and then washed the wall and the floor. They also brought in some new furniture to make the house look like a real house, a real home. During this period, the old man realized that the love from Ciji volunteer was genuine. He not only trusted the volunteers, but was truly grateful to them. He said, "Thank you for giving so much of your time to clean for me. Now I have a clean home." Ciji volunteers were thankful to the old man for opening his door to them. They replied wisely, "Grandpa, it is we who should be grateful to you for giving us a place to cultivate our spiritual practice." Ciji volunteer devoted themselves sincerely and selflessly. They not only donate their time and labor, they also patiently keep others company and comfort them until they are willing to open up their hearts. If they had not personally experienced helping others, they would not be able to speak with such wisdom. They are truly cultivating both blessing and wisdom. Now, this is very true. If you don't have a genuine, loving and compassionate heart, which is selfless, you cannot do this type of thing. Well, most human beings are selfish. You look at this volunteer, that old man, that grandpa. Do you think you have the patience to so many months, sit with him, talk with him, and try to cheer him up, to get him to trust them and to do the work, to help him clear the mess? So all this is not easy. So a lot of the things they do, they volunteer, and they are selfless. But when people think from a selfish point of view, with the ego, with the greed, with the selfishness, they cannot do this type of work. They will weigh or analyze the situation and weigh the pro and con. Why should I help him? Who is he? He's not even related to me. And he is so messy, so useless, so dirty. So that type of thought is very negative, full of selfishness, lack love, lack compassion, lack wisdom and understanding. It depends on the way we understand life and the way we appreciate life. So these Ciji members, the volunteers, they have seen a lot of these, and very likely most of them, when they started, they also have problems. They themselves don't have problem. Seldom do they go to Ciji and all those things. And most of people who go there, except for maybe a handful, they have problems. Then as they go there, they realize there are other people who are worse off than them. So when you start to see all those things, then you realize, hey, After all, you are not that bad compared to all those. They are really, really terrible. Their karma is a lot worse. Then when they develop the understanding, they feel contented. They feel that they are indeed already very blessed. That's why Ci Ji is a good name. Ci Bei Jiu Ji. Ci Bei means compassion in action. Compassion in action during crisis. Yeah. So when you have this understanding, you are exposed to many of this so-called karmic misery of living beings. Then you start to appreciate life more. You start to have gratitude towards your own parents, your own siblings, your loved ones, and all things in nature that give you the condition to be what you are. I always say to have our five senses in order is already a great blessing. To have a roof over our head and a three meal without having to worry is our real blessings. And some of us are very successful in our own way. We are educated. And as Kanamitas, we have the condition to develop the Dhamma understanding. Then we have the condition to develop the ability to understand all this and to help society, people. Starting with your own family members, your own loved ones, then your own relatives, your neighbors, your good friends. Then you slowly extend all this out. Because if you cannot love yourself, how can you love others? If you cannot love others, you cannot love the world. Because the world is a lot more difficult. Yeah. So initially, you can develop through metta. That's why the book on metta is very useful. If you haven't got a copy, you better get the ebook and read first. Then later on, after MCO, when you have condition, collect the hard copy. Starting with metta, you read it. Then this love will lead to a very intense, compassionate heart, loving heart that seeks the well-being of all, wishing every being's well-being and happiness deep inside their heart. And when you radiate all this positive loving kindness energy, it will actually help in many ways without you knowing it, especially the universal love in all directions. It brings forth such pure vibration of love. It is very powerful. And it can help you in many ways. That's why in that way I feel you can extend more goodness and kindness to the environment, to society, to all beings. It's really effective. You should read that book and try it. And all the various type of metta that is taught inside there. You should do it. Yeah. Then develop until it becomes universal, all directional. And you do that, you will have a completely transformed mind. Your metta become very strong. I remember in the early years when I started, 1970 something, when I first came to MU, I remember 1975. Before that, I think I received that book I told you all, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition by K. Sridhamananda. Then immediately after that, that time I was in lower six, I remember. Then after that, immediately when I entered university, I met the author of the book, K. Sridhamananda. Then after that, I found out about his temple's address in Brickfield. That's how I started. Then I received this booklet on metta, that two booklets I told you that impacted me a lot in the early years. And I love those two books. And they are very beautiful books. Then from there, I started developing metta until my metta was very strong. Then later on, I developed the Dhamma understanding. Then everything becomes history after that. So looking back, there were conditions. Then I recall these two books. Then I taught them earlier. Then sometimes people came to me with problems and all those things. So I remember these two books. So I told them to go and read it out. I photostated and I gave it to them. Then later on, somebody volunteered to type. That's how it came out. Then I decided to improve on it. That's how this book came out so beautifully. It's a very good book. And it will help a lot of people. And metta is very important. To do Tzu-Chi's work or whatever, you need metta. You need understanding. Then you need to reflect about life. Go deep into it. Life is not about you alone. Life has great meaning, very deep. And when you have the Dhamma, you will understand. And you have joy. That's why when you penetrate through emptiness, life becomes beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful existence. That's the reason why under the Heart Sutta and also Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the Lotus Sutta, is mentioned. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. After you have penetrated through emptiness, life becomes wonderful, life becomes meaningful and beautiful. This is the beauty of the Dhamma. This is what Dhamma can reward you. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very wonderful, very, very wonderful. And it can transform an individual from a state of delusion, sadness, depression, into a very beautiful being with all the love, the compassion, the kindness, the wisdom, the virtue, and the understanding that can be a blessing to all of society, all humanity, all the environment, and the universe as a whole. And this is really beautiful because Dhamma has that ability, that potency to transform living beings. So hopefully with this, it can help you understand the beauty of Dhamma. Then I will read on. When dealing with someone like this elderly man, ordinary people may think it's already a kind gesture to offer to clean for you, yet you refuse. So be it, that's your business anyway. However, Bodhisattva can find ways to change the strong will of a stubborn old man or person. Tzu-Chi volunteer invested a lot of time to form a connection with this elderly man in order to improve his living condition and kind of love in his heart, so that his life could be more meaningful. These volunteers knew that the old man could ride a bicycle, so little by little, they wisely encouraged him until one day, they got him to ride to the recycling station in Tien Wai. Oh, this is beautiful. Finally, he went and help out in the recycling center or station. So what the author said is very true. If you don't have the love, the compassion, and the understanding, your mundane mind will complain. Your mundane mind will tell you it's already a kind gesture to offer to clean for you, and yet you refuse. So be it. So many people have this type of mind because they lack understanding, they lack patience, they don't know how to see the potential in turning that person around or that old man around. So all this come from experience, come from understanding, come from your wisdom developed over years of helping out in city. When the old man saw so many volunteers sorting out recyclables at the recycling station, he said, "I can do this too." He wanted to contribute his time to do recycling. One day he said, "I often heard Suji brothers and sisters say, recycling can help people. That's great." The volunteer told him he will become a Suji member by donating just a couple of dollars a month. You can also help many people too. This is how they start. Small sum could be 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, or 3 ringgit you pledge every month. Then over the years, it could be a small sum. And as you become more affordable, or you have the means, and you become more comfortable, and when you start to understand, you will become more generous. Because the funny part about this thing is, when you start to do the donation and the offering, your life changes. When you start to do recycling, you have more and more goodness, love and compassion and virtue. Your karma change. Your life change for the better. Then you realize money come to you. Your life become better. And you meet more and more good people. Kindness is rewarded with kindness. You plant the seed of virtue or wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness and virtue. That's the way the nature's law works, law of karma. So through all this, they start to develop the understanding that life is such more meaningful when you understand. Because when you live life through understanding, then you don't become lonely. You don't become like the one that always look at the world in a very passive manner, like everything is not right, like the world owe you a lot of things. But when you start to understand, when you start to appreciate all the things, when you start to do, when you see the reward coming in, the blessing coming in, then you realize life is so much more to it. The more goodness, the more blessing you cultivate, the more wholesomeness you develop, the better your life becomes. You start to receive the fruit of your kindness, your goodness, your blessing. And all this, when they come back to you, it's like pouring forward. Then when you start to receive them, you have so much joy, like what my brothers, they told me. His life changed. And the more he gave, the more he received. So this is what you can develop. Even this old man, after he developed the understanding, when he was taught about contributing in a small way to help others, just by donating or pledging a few dollars a month, or even $1 or 1 ringgit a month, you can also help many people in the long run. But that is the sincere pledge. Your love, your kindness, your generosity. Then when you do recycling, you help out the environment, you help clean up the environment. You help reduce pollution and you bring for a better world. So all this become good causes and conditions for good karma to take its course. So in future you will be born during era where the environment will be very conducive. Wherever you live, you will have the good environment, good condition. Then you can have Dhamma joy seeing people sincerely working to relieve suffering and helping others. And when you witness how those who are subject to suffering and nature's disaster recover with joy, you will have more and more Dhamma joy. Then you will have more and more gratitude towards having the condition to be part of the volunteer group that help do all this work. So all this joy can come about. I remember during the early days, I like to help out everywhere. I help out Buddhist society, temple, or all the whatever groups or NGO that actually do good things and wholesome things. Then through all this little thing, you develop understanding. Then when I start to meditate, especially when I have metta, I did a lot of good things. That metta was very powerful. I radiated a lot of good metta energy during the early days. And that one is universal, very, very powerful. Then during that period, I remember, my heart like opened up. Then metta flow out from my heart. There's a very soothing metta energy that just come out. And everything I do is all with metta. And that time the animal can feel, the non-human can feel, nature, the plants, the environment, all they can feel. And that type of love is so genuine, so beautiful. There is so much joy that it just come out to that nature. That's why I recommend to you all to read that two book. It's very beautiful. Okay, we go on. We are almost 4 o'clock already. I have to start the meditation already. The volunteer told him, if you become a Tsuji member by donating just a couple of dollars a month, you can also help many people too. Just a couple of ringgit can help people, he asked. I can do that, he said, and donated $3 on the spot. The following month, before Tsuji volunteer could even ask him, the old man said, 1 month is up, and he took out $10. Tsuji volunteer declined. Grandpa, just a couple of dollars is fine. The old man said, no, that's too little. It will be too hard for you if you donate that much. They replied, not at all. I can afford it by being thrifty at other times. Such a connection is so warm and touching. The old man lives solely on government subsidies for senior. But by living frugally, he could still afford to donate $10 a month. He is truly proud of himself for being able to help others, for becoming spiritually rich in spite of being poor. This is what it means to walk the path of the Bodhisattva way. Living Bodhisattva must guide others without being asked. Not only that, they must also be a great field of blessing. They should help people in need, change their living environment, and improve their quality of life. They should further guide them to understand the value of life so that they can use their ability to the fullest. Life only lasts for a few decades. We have helped this man cultivate a field of blessing in his mind so he can now plant the seeds of goodness himself, bring this good affinity to his future life, and increase his wisdom life. Now this is beautiful. Eh? We stop here. Very good. Okay. Then we can have our usual 45 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. Eh? We shall continue our second session. Second session is meditation reporting followed by question from your side. Huh? Whatever question you have.
Hey, Radio. No, this is Vincent.
Vincent. They thought it's a new person. Vincent. Yeah, Vincent, long time haven't heard from you. Yeah. So you want to report meditation or you want to ask question or share anything?
No, just share my time of meditation.
Okay, that's very good. Yes, yeah, Sadhu.
No, usually I do an hour a day lah. But sometimes, especially now with this this stay home.
MCO, yes.
MCO things. I did about maybe I wake up in the morning, then I just do about an hour in the morning, and then evening
very
I do.
Good. Very good.
No, sometimes you just try to push yourself, is it? Otherwise,
You have to. Otherwise, you won't do it. And you have to make it into a religious routine so that every day you will do it.
You just push yourself and you just sit down there.
Yeah.
And try to sit there for an hour or so. So, and then I find that things are a little bit more, not so cluttered, I would call it this way.
Good. You will experience a lot of things happening. The shift of consciousness, everything.
Things are clearer, because nowadays we want a lot of uncertainty, is it?
Yes.
In the sense that there are too many WhatsApp, a lot of things, all negative news nowadays.
Yeah, it can condition you. So now you are less.
You don't want to read all these things, you know, but on the other hand, because of all this negativity, there's so many things are flowing in somewhere. You just have to sit down there and clear up everything, you see. So more or less.
Very good. Sadhu, that is how you rest your mind, actually. You allow your mind to settle down. Then it becomes fresh. It's like recuperate. Then after that, you come out again. You are fresh again. You are not being disturbed or bothered by all those things. Those things can disturb you is because you have not reached the stability of Dhamma understanding to accept the reality of whatever unfolds. It could be politics, or it could be any social media thing or whatever. Because nowadays, with the handphone, with the social, they call social chat or whatever, or social media, you can receive a lot of information, lot of news. Then some are like what you have shared with us, very negative. Then most people, I realize, they are affected. They become unhappy. They become emotional. Then their mind states are not clear, cluttered and all those things, until they become frustrated with all this news and all those things. Then, like you say, when you try your best to meditate for 1 hour, when you settle down, you can cope. You become better. It's like that mind recover, recuperate. Then it have enough rest. Then you realize this mind that have enough rest will start afresh. But when you start afresh, you have to develop the wisdom, the Dhamma understanding, so that you can accept the reality of whatever arise. That is the true wisdom that can help you actually change the way you perceive the world, change the way you receive information. Otherwise, most people, like what you go through, experience the same negativity. Then they become like agitated, very affected. In fact, yesterday I also received from one Christian, she become like very negative. He said, "What the hell is going on?" So he called the politician, politicus, and all those things. And he said, the moment he heard all this news about Darurat, all those things, he said she's sick. She really like see no future in the country and all those things. But the reality is, when conditioned like that, like the Buddha said, things will unfold. So let it unfold. So observe with your calm mind. Understand that the collective consciousness can only move as a whole. It cannot move individually. Unless your nature is different, then your whatever condition you introduce in may have a greater influence. But it's not easy to influence the collective. You must have enough numbers, means at least about 1% who have the understanding, the kindness, the goodness, the virtue, for this consciousness to actually have the potential to move in a positive direction. Otherwise, whatever that is filled with the negative emotion or the negative tendency, they will continue to have a stronger influence. But if you are patient and have the understanding, continue to do your part, then sooner or later, when there is enough numbers to turn it around, then things will reverse. Then it will not be so bad. So this is the stage of cultivation that most people have to go through. But those who have the Dhamma, they can see the difference. They are not so reactive now. They are not so disturbed by all these things now. They can accept the reality. They can be at peace with whatever that happened and unfold. They just do what they have to do, accord and flow. And wherever there is condition to do something, they will do something. Then they continue to radiate metta. They continue to do all the wholesome things. They continue to develop the cultivation. That's why meditation and Dhamma activity is one of the good religious routine to actually contribute. And every session we do our sharing of merit, transfer of merit, we invoke power of blessing, power of merits for turnaround, for a better garment, for people to have better mind states. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with all beings. May all beings be well and happy. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy in the heart of living beings. So all this will help. So for your case, I think it's a good start, Vincent. Rejoice. So after the meditation, what else do you do throughout the day? You still teach your exercise?
No, I just answer someone people who are query about what the hell is about Dex is all. I know that really
exercise. Yes, you guide them through the WhatsApp.
But on the other hand, I notice this stay at home things.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to take a start to where you want to meditate. Is it? Otherwise, there will no end. They will never find a time to meditate, you see.
Correct. They always give excuse. So this is actually a good opportunity.
The longer you sit at the meditation, the longer you want to meditate.
You will progress. Yes. If you dare to do it.
The longer you want to sit down and do longer meditation, you know.
Yes. You have to commit yourself.
The mind has so many things to do. But after a while, you notice that.
It was settled down.
Seem to lower than everything, and then you find that you just move on.
Yeah, then it will settle down, and you just move on. You're right. You have to try that, to experience that. That's what Pucheng they all went through. The shift of consciousness will come. Sometimes it may take as long as half an hour, but for some people, it's shorter, faster. Then as you become more and more skillful with the meditation, you just relax, silent, and within minutes, you will go in. And you will realize that tranquility, stillness, silent within the awareness nature. Now just stay there, until that one become very stable.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vincent.
Well, the last time I report is that I was having a lot of difficulty during work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
there was a lot of like what I feel, like, I don't know whether is it reality, but what I feel is like the work is piling up and then I don't have enough time to finish, and then I got like devastated, you know, like overwhelmed. And then was a lot of anger.
So what do you do? When you come to understand all this, what do you do?
Well, then while listening, I mean, like after that, for a few weeks already, right? Then somehow I don't know why I started bowing again. I did the first time, but the first time I feel it's more like it's more like competition like that, you know. Because I do
Okay.
it in a group, you know, it's more like competition. So the this second time is like I want to do it for my for like
Yeah, for
for
your
this
own self.
my for this nature and everything. So I do it and then continuously like for I think now already like the 11 or the 12 days already.
Oh, that's good.
Every day I did for 15 minutes lah. So
oh,
about
very good. 15 minutes is good enough. Yeah, you do it constantly. Yeah. Then
yeah.
Did the mindfulness come in? Did you bow until the body and mind move as one, until there is hardly any thought? You just can do it.
Just,
like you become very beautiful. You become like very
very
great.
Long. Is this very short time?
Or
not
short
like
moment. Never mind. Even the short moment, let it unfold. Let it unfold. It's a good sign of you have starts to settle down into that rhythm of bowing mindfully. So when you just bow mindfully, it will trigger off the starting of the rhythm. Like Vincent, he do the sitting. After long sitting, the mind will settle down. So when you bow, after a while, the bowing will give rise to a condition for the mindfulness to arise. The mind will settle down and get into the rhythm. Then all of a sudden, your body and mind will suddenly realize that there is no one bowing. It's just the awareness and the movement. The awareness and the movement. Then there is no thought at all. Then after that, you realize everything becomes different. You become very sensitive. Your mindfulness become very clear. Then you can see a lot of things. Then you can start to be with the moment, like your action, your hand, your movement, your bowing, your standing, your sitting. Everything you do, it start to like magnify. It become like slow motion like that. But actually, you are doing it at the same speed. And that is the real mindfulness. Then you start to see and understand what mindfulness is. Then you realize when the body and mind move as one without thought, that is mindfulness. Even like my hand, like when I move, it's the awareness, that movement. Although I can talk and speak, this is from the nature, but my action, my movement and the mindfulness move as one. You will be able to see that. Then after that, your mind will become different. You become sensitive, you become mindful, you become more aware. So continue to do. So if you can, one day, extend it to 2 times before you sleep, do again. Maybe before you sleep, you start with 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Then if you can, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. Then you will speed up the thing. You can give that a try. It will help you.
Okay.
Then what else happened after that? Did it help you in your work?
Yeah, I said during the bowing, it somehow like because initially the mind was keep on running away. Even I'm bowing and thinking
yes,
of other
the
things.
Thought keep on coming in, yes.
Yeah. Then I tried to pull it back to current moment.
Yeah.
Then somehow there's sometimes it will show you that that Brother Teo always says relax, relax, but
yes.
At times it's just thinking of relax and it's not relaxed.
Correct.
And then when sometimes like, when like I finish that thing and I'm resting, I finish the bowing and I'm resting at time, then and it just show me that okay, this is resting and then that one is thinking of resting. Like,
yeah.
Show
that's
the
different. When you really rest without thought, especially when you bow until you are tired, you just silent everything. And that is the silent mind. That resting itself is awareness without movement. That is the mind in quietness. Yeah. But when you are doing the bowing, means you are in motion. Motion means specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness and the movement of the body become one, synchronized. Body and mind move as one without thought. So when you can bow until there is no thought, that is deep. That's why just do. Don't try to know. Just do. Keep on doing. Then you can recite, homage to you, the blessed one, fully enlightened one. Namo bensi, shijian moni, fall, then bow, then come out, then bow, then come out. So the recitation, if it can help you, you recite. If it cannot, you just bow homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Then come out. Then homage to you, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Then bow. Then later on, the bowing and the recitation move as one. Move as one. Together. Just like the Mahayana chanting. Then you will come to understand that finally there is no one to bow, no one to recite, no one to do anything. It's just the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Finish. So that mindfulness can arise. When it arises, you will have clarity, you will become different. Then you become sensitive, you can see many things. You can. Then when you listen to the Dhamma again, or when you read up the Heart Sutta again, the meaning come out. The meaning become different, stand out. Well, now you have the sati, that's why you can understand. Otherwise, it's thought-based knowledge. It doesn't really go in. It's just knowledge that goes in. Then what I teach you all to contemplate and reflect is the wisdom part that you need later on. But I realize without the mindfulness, if I share with most people the wisdom part, most of them can't make use of it. They can only make use of it like a Dhamma knowledge like that. Do you remember what my advice is to solve the work problem? Like you say everything pile up, then you become like devastated with the office work and all those things. So always remember you are there to work because of that employment contract. So 9 to 5 means 9 to 5. Well, when they accept you, they put you under probation, then they confirm you, means you are qualified. So you just do, try your best, they say. Then if the work pile up too much, you write it down one by one. Then you handle one at a time. Don't panic, don't worry. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you. When you start to panic, fear, and worry, and allow your thought to project, then you don't have clarity, you are not calm, you are not efficient. You will not be able to do your thing well, because the fear, the worry, the anxiety are mental hindrance. It does not help you. So what you need to understand is, all this negative tendency will not help you. What you need is to have clarity of mind. Accept the reality, calm yourself down, write it down one by one, what are the things you need to do, then attend to one thing at a time. Finish, then tick it off. Finish, then tick it off. And to finish something, you must make the decision. Decision making is very important. If I cannot understand, I must decide to tell my boss, I cannot understand, this job is beyond me. I need somebody to help me or whatever. Then the second thing is, if you are having too many of this assignment, you have to go back and ask him which is priority and let me know. Then I will attend to the priority one first, because it indicates that they have given you too much work. Understand not? Then after that, you have to tell him not only which is priority, without extra maybe manpower or people to assist you, I don't think all this job can be done. So we need to be realistic about things. So we need to speak the truth, and we need to have the what they call ability to put forward this message to our superior or our boss. Just they will know that is the reality. If you have tried your best without fear, without worry, without anxiety, you can do your part. Then they will know, because you have done your best and really too much work. Then they will think of something. They say, okay, I will get somebody to assist you, or I will maybe get somebody to take over a certain part or aspect of your work. Then whatever you are good at, you can tell your immediate boss or supervisor that you are skilled in this, good at this, you will attend to this. Then you have to finish the part that you can do. Then the rest that you have problem or what, you need people to help you or you need training or what, you can let the management know or ask them to send you for that type of training or courses. Sometimes not everything that is new is within your ability to resolve or do. So for me, I just resolve it one thing at a time. Then I will be very realistic about things because I only work for you based on the employment contract. So 9 to 5, after 5 is my time, not your time. Unless something urgent once a while, yes. And we have to stay back to help out the company, to help out something. But not every day, not all the time. So all this we have to learn to say no to certain things. Unless you do that, you will continuously receive this workload and pressure. And the problem with work environment, private sector, and even government department is the more efficient you are, the more work will be thrown to you because you are the one who can actually help them clear things. So when they throw too much to you, you have to tell them you can't handle anymore. That's it. Finish. Don't worry about whether they promote you or they don't promote you or whether they reprimand you. No, no such thing. Speak the truth. Be sincere. Then you need to rest. You need to rest. You need to have your time. You tell them you need to have your time. So we are not there to work for money at the expense of our health, our what they call our own family time or our own cultivation time. There are aspects of life that we need to develop understanding and give priority. So life cannot be just work and work pressure, unending, no such thing. So you need to develop clear understanding on all this. But like I say, without the mindfulness, without the clarity and the understanding, the Dhamma cannot go in. Then it becomes knowledge and you find it very difficult to apply. But for me, after I developed the mindfulness, the Dhamma understanding, I realized I can apply it. It becomes a living reality and I overcome things very fast and it becomes very easy. Okay? Let me then follow.
Yeah. Hope
it will help you. Yeah. So write it down. Attend to things. One thing at a time. Clear, clear, clear. Then you realize whatever workload, slowly as you tick off, then the balance is not much left. Then if it's beyond you, you have to talk to your boss. You have to talk to your boss. Then you have to ask yourself, is it realistic, the schedule given to you? Or when they ask you to commit, you better say the truth. I still have so much thing to do. So which is priority? Otherwise, I cannot move. I cannot continue to do this. Otherwise, the workload keep on piling up. And it's unfair to the company, to you as the boss, and also to our company as a whole. So all this, you need to really be very clear. Then be able to speak up when the time comes. Mm. Okay. Ready?
Yeah. So I continue.
Continue.
And after the bowing, then is I found that also listening to the talks and everything, then I found that I try to list down everything that I did, then what are the things that I look for my boss and then I tell her about my situation. Because for this period of time, I understand from my boss is that everyone is also working overtime. Mm. So it's like she also doing overtime, but she will try to look into this and then ask me to list down for her the things that I want to discuss and everything. Mm. So somehow, even though I haven't settled much of the things, but like a big load already taken out from my
yeah.
Yeah. So then after that, then I tried to apply that. I also asked the request the great beings to help give me
that one also help, aspiration. Devas or whoever, great beings. Great beings nature.
Because that I heard from Kok Lun, he says good idea. So I try to
When he has the faith, like Kok Lun, when you have the faith, it will manifest. I tell you, all these great beings is their nature that actually bring forth the causes and condition to you to for you to develop the faith more and more. Because you have faith in them. So when you have faith in them, their nature can help you. It will manifest. Very beautiful, especially Kuan Yin.
I also found while bowing or I'm chanting Namo Bun Si Shi Jia Mo Ni Fo. So this also instill the Sada Virya.
The Virya, true, correct.
Then somehow, because of that, I feel that because of that. Then it becomes like when I ask the great beings help, it have this faith that they help me.
Very, very good. That's the correct way to continue to go.
And then for last week, I found that the situation become, even though like not really a lot of things changes, but somehow the situation changes become better for me. For a bit. I'm not so stressful.
Bearable already. More bearable.
I hope. I also always remind myself not to become complacent, because when you are.
Correct. Don't become complacent. That one is very important.
And then I want to report just now my meditation. Even though it's initially like. The mind keep on want to fix things up. And then I found that this chest area, I don't know, is it because of you know, always I was stressing up. Now when I was relaxed, so the whole chest area was like tight and somehow a bit suffocating.
Because it's not relaxed. Everything not relaxed. You accumulate all this stress without you know. That's why people got heart attack. It's always at the heart. The stress build up there. You have to relax. Relax means just let things be. Don't do anything. Like when you're very tired, just relax. Then rest. Relax and rest. Maintain awareness there. Finish. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Then it will allow you to rest. Go into the deep awareness. Nature there to rest, and when you rest, you recuperate. Then you realize all this tightness, the tension, everything, they will be gone after a while. Did you experience that?
Initially was like that. Then towards the end of the meditation, before the bell rings, then I found it is compared to the initial part, like it is more relaxed.
Very light, relax, very light.
Like that.
Oh, very good. So this is the beginning. So you learn. To relax is not easy. The meaning is very deep. Ability to relax actually is a very difficult thing to do. Like Krishnamurti say, it requires a lot of earnestness and a lot of what they call energy means you must have the ability to be very, very patient, diligent, then you will do it. Because it's not something that is very easy to be mindful. To be mindful demands a lot of understanding and a lot of patience, a lot of what they call perseverance. So when you have all this, it will help. Your understanding is number one. Means you understand that you are not relaxed. So you need to relax. So the next stage is how to relax. How to relax is a skill. You need to be patient. You need to use the understanding until it become a real understanding. This relax means just let things be, don't do anything, and allow everything to settle down. Then you will experience the coolness in your heart, the lightness in your heart, the tension all will start to go, and everything will return to the original state of mind before the stirring. Then you will experience the tranquility, the stillness, the quietness, the peace within. And that is what meditation is all about. So have enough of this training so that it will continue to give rise to the improvement in your meditation. So you hopefully with what you are doing, when you continue to persevere with faith, with understanding, and you have the patience to continuously do it, then it will happen. Then you will reap the good result, the fruit of it. Then after that, you can become like full of joy, full of happiness. And you, when you start to develop the understanding, you become deeper. Then you transform. Salute to you. Anything else, Tammy?
One more. I got one question. Because while I was doing this bowing, then I found that, not really bowing, just one question arise. It's like the when I try to go to back to the reality, when I notice that, oh, this is reality, then somehow the, like, it will pull you back to the to the storyline, you know. It's like very easily it blasts you, and then you go back, and then you were, oh my god, I'm not now already. I need to like keep on coming back like that.
I understand. You want me to answer that one first?
I got one more. Is then when, especially when I'm sometimes when it comes to a state when it's very relaxed at time, then I have this very strong fear that like the thought wants to be there, and then they cannot let go, or that, you know, wants to, it
you
just
want to
like
cling onto that state. No, you want to cling on to that state.
And then keep on telling me how to do that, you know. It's like, they're telling me like this is like that. Then I feel it's very like the fear was letting go of the thought.
Fear of losing it, because you are trying to use memory to recall. So the real understanding is not like that, but you don't worry. You will slowly develop the understanding to pass through all these stages. Any more questions?
No.
I answer you. The first one is when you just now mentioned, as you develop the meditation, is that the bowing. Then it's like, I can't recall just now when I was trying to share with you, I knew what you were saying, but it's something like that, because your mindfulness was not stable yet. So when you reach that state where you feel that it has made you better, then you like, you want to before you can even, the reality, like you realize that this is the reality, means you have to develop the acceptance. But before you are able to develop the acceptance, your memory came in, your thought came in. So your thought is the one that actually draw you away. Then you say you go back to the state where you are lost in it again. So this is because you lack the stability of mindfulness. When you have the stability of mindfulness, when you reflect and contemplate, then you realize this is the reality. When you say that, the acceptance will come in. You will not like your thought proliferate backward to the state of heedlessness again, the thinking part again. You will reach the understanding that this is the reality, like the Buddha said. This is what is. We are conditioned like that, things be like that. So in order to have that wisdom, you must have that understanding to accept that reality. Accept means what? Don't do anything. Since it's the reality. Accept. When I accept means I'm at peace. There is clarity. There is calmness of mind. Then I can ask myself, what happened? I can inquire. How can I move? How can I resolve all these things amicably? Following Noble Eightfold Path. And then action can start. Action can begin. But because your stability of mindfulness is not there, you may have that knowledge that tell you this is the reality. I have to accept it. But you cannot do it because the thought keep on coming. The lack of stability of mindfulness will pull you back. Pull you back. So this is the first part that I want to explain to you. Now you start to develop the understanding through what I share. Means stability of mindfulness is very important. Then you have to reflect and contemplate until very stable. Means the reality is you have to accept. Don't do anything. Acceptance first. Accept doesn't mean you agree. Accept that this is the reality. Then you have a calm mind. You do not develop the fear, worry, anxiety. You do not project your thought. And then you can act. Before you act, you ask yourself, what actually happened? How can I move? How can I resolve all this amicably? So this is the solution. And then that thing, if it's stabilized, it develops into wisdom, more stable. Then later on, when your mindfulness also develops, then you can really act and become a living reality, like what I explained. Otherwise, what happened to you will continue to go back. The thought come back and make you heedless again. You go back to the old way. Then the second part of your question is what your experience is. As you develop the bowing and the meditation, then you reach a certain stage, like when you know that you are with the moment, that fear arises. Fear arises. The fear arises means, like just now I explained, you fear that you will lose it. You try to maintain it, but it cannot be maintained, because to maintain, you need stability of mindfulness and understanding. So just let it be. Then ask yourself, inquire, why must you fear? Who fear? What fear? You should instead rejoice. If I can experience that state, means that moment of peace or calmness or that present moment, you should have the joy where you experience it. Then don't worry about it, like within split second, you lose it. Never mind. Initially, it's not stable. So let it be. Let it be. Just, that's why I say, don't try to know. Just do. Do until it comes. That present moment awareness that you experience for the moment can become stable. If you just continue to do, don't try to know. Don't try to even analyze, or in the meditation, they call think. Or try to use your rational thinking to rationalize it or justify or do the analysis. No need. Just accept the reality. Be with it. Then do. Continue to do. Don't try to know. Do. Do until the thing become one with you. Become very stable. Then that state of mind will continue to be with you when your mindfulness become very stable. Then later on, when you are heedful, throughout the day, your mind will become like that. You don't have to force it to be like that. It's an understanding. It's the training. The mindfulness, when it stabilizes, then the understanding deepens, then it becomes a part of your nature. Then you can live it. That becomes the living aspect of Dhamma. It's no longer knowledge. Knowledge is when you don't have mindfulness, you try to remember, you try to use memory, you try to use knowledge to solve your problem. You can, but it is not a skill, a permanent solution. It is just a knowledge. So knowledge is not wisdom. So it's not something that can fix the problem. That's why what happened to you continue to happen. Yeah. Something else take over. Yeah. Otherwise, it won't happen. Right? So this is something that you need to really develop the understanding that as you cultivate, you can actually slowly mitigate it and help to actually develop the clear understanding of the cultivation. The understanding of the cultivation is very important. When you understand, you just do. Don't try to know. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to think. That's why when you are in the meditation, don't do anything. Just develop mindfulness. Develop the stability of awareness and the awareness nature. Just get it right. Then after that, like Po Cheng come to understand, everything will happen. Then you will understand everything. Don't be too eager to know. Yeah. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Initially, just do. Yeah. Then when you are going through your career or doing your work, you have to reflect, you have to contemplate, you have to use some form of the understanding. At that one, you can. Yeah. Like you experienced recently, the improvement and all those things. That one is the initial improvement because it is at least a step forward. You have tried the bowing for about 10, 11 days. It helps. Then it gives you that ability to handle things better. You can talk to your boss. Then it like take off a heavy load of burden from your heart. Now things are bearable. So you see such improvement, but these are not complete solution that can root out your problem once and for all. These are initial improvement that you have done. But when your mindfulness stabilizes, when your wisdom stabilizes, you will become different again. You will transform again. Okay? Tammy, sadhu to you. Very good.
Sadhu.
Okay, maybe I will share something that is quite useful. You see, the book that we are trying to follow is The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva practitioner. So here, modern day bodhisattva practitioner means Renjian Pusa, means bodhisattva within life itself. Modern day means referring to our society now. So our society now is a lot more sophisticated because of the development of science, technology, IT, AI, and all this. It is transforming our society, our human consciousness. Then the way we live our life is different now. Everything is happening at very fast pace. So the challenges also is a lot. And we also have a lot of information coming in. So our capacity to deal with things has to evolve to transform. Otherwise, we cannot go. Then as a bodhisattva, our cultivation is very different. That's why to be a real bodhisattva is not easy. To be a real bodhisattva, you must have a lot of wisdom. You must have the ability to fulfill your four basic vow, especially the first two. The first two is very important, and the third one also very important. Once you can do the first three, then the fourth one will be a natural consequence. But the first one demands a lot of love and compassion for living beings. As I out of love and compassion for living being, we vow to take across the limitless or the countless living beings to the other shore. So to fulfill this vow, you need love, you need compassion, you need to have understanding, and you need to do your part. So wherever there is condition to take beings across, you can use your skillful means, such as their way, we as Kayamita have our way. So the way I have discovered and shared with you on the Bodhisattva way, I already explained them very clearly, and I summarized the whole thing in the card. And that is the big picture. That is the answer to your future problem and whatever. So you have that, means you already assured of the way, means your future coming all taken care of. That is what my nature wants you to understand, and just develop that vow, stabilize it. Then when it comes to the actual part of training yourself, developing the ability to really go this way, you have to first cultivate all the Dhamma understanding, develop your own self-cultivation until you can endure the second vow, endure and severe all suffering. If you yourself cannot endure and severe all suffering, how can you help people? True or not? So the cultivation part, variety leading to pati-pati, is very important, and I have gone through with you. So for me, my nature's understanding is, if you don't develop this, until you yourself have the understanding and the wisdom to endure all suffering and severe all suffering, means you are not really ready to serve, to be a blessing to all, to help take across living beings. So this first vow depends on your second vow, and your second vow will lead you to the third vow. The third vow is you vow to cultivate, master and perfect all of the wisdom that is around. You need to perfect them all, prajna paramita. So all this will lead to the wisdom that allow you to endure and severe all suffering. So if you check back, the vows are interrelated. So first, after you have the whole picture, the understanding, make that vow. Follow the yellow card, stabilize the understanding, and determine strongly. Plant the seed of Bodhi strongly, deeply, until that faith, sada, virya, and sati very strong. Then cultivate the right view, the right understanding. Then later on, stabilize the understanding. Then move on with the cultivation. Pariyati, patipati, stabilize it until you yourself have the understanding to endure all suffering and severe all suffering. Means you will not suffer anymore. And then only you can have the possibility to take living being across. And then when there is condition, you will know how to do it. You will have the understanding, the patience, the love, the compassion, the virtue, and the understanding to do all this. So this is the part that I want you to understand, so that in future, when you really tread this way, the Bodhisattva way, you will become beautiful. You will know what to do. So this is the part I realize not many people understand. So to be a true Bodhisattva practitioner, especially the modern day type, Zen Jian Fusa, means Bodhisattva within society, means whenever you arise in whatever society or rhyme or existence, you must have all this understanding and cultivation. Otherwise, you cannot be a true Bodhisattva. So, Tsuji have their way, and we have our way. So, it depends on what your affinity is like. If your affinity is towards the other tradition, you will know. You will become like very at home when you are with them, and you will like their activity and all this. You have the affinity and nature with what my nature is and the great being's nature is, they will go by the traditional normal way of developing their own understanding first, then only they come out and share and become a blessing to all. For me, my nature is, I have, my nature has done a lot of things in the past. So there are a lot of things that my nature come this life. I don't have to do all those things anymore. But it doesn't mean that all these things that Shiji, Fo Kuang and other tradition do is not important. It's important. But my nature has done them, most of them, before, long, long before. So this time, my nature's true purpose and intent is based on what Maitreya Buddha requested, is to pass on the new understanding, the true understanding. 请你把正法传下去. So for my nature is to groom the understanding of this Bodhisattva way and share it with the world, and teach the pure Dhamma, the true Dhamma, so that more and more beings with these roots and understanding can in future become great beings. So if you follow all the sharing that I give and the teaching, you can really progress very fast, and the Bodhisattva way can be cut short by very long period. And better sasana, no, without sasana, whenever you arise, you will have this right view, right understanding, because you planted the seed of Bodhi and you took all those vows. You vow and expire for cause and cause for you to have this understanding life after life. And all this right view that I have put it out, they are very, very important, and they are very, very clearly spelled out. And when you understand this, whenever you arise, whether with sasana or not, you will penetrate the Dhamma. It will arise. The causes and conditions will arise because of your vow. Then you will understand them. Then when that thing connected, when the condition arise and you have the understanding, then when the time come, you will know what to do. You will know how to walk the path, move your vows, then share whatever, help people and all those things. So all these are natural consequence of that vow, that cultivation. So this part, I purposely wanted to make sure it's recorded so that you all can listen to it and develop that clear understanding. Otherwise, I think many of you may not have the clear picture or understanding of this, because you look at the way this book share is like their way, you know? Then they don't spell out the full picture to you, the totality of understanding. They go topic by topic and they try to share with you how Shiji do things. Then they retrieve from certain sutta, like the Wu Liang Yi Jing. Then they recite some of the what they call stanza to you. Then from there they share by giving you some example. Those are their way, which is also good, but you don't have the big picture. So hopefully with this sharing, it can help many of you later on. Later on, as you develop the understanding, you listen back, it becomes very clear, and you will really rejoice with all this understanding that you can receive during this Buddha Sasana. Yeah, these are very rare understanding, rare teachings. You can't find. You really can't find. It's very, very rare. Okay. Thomas, can you unmute and just come in? Yes.
Thank you for the sharing at the last part. It was so touching.
Oh, Sadhu. Oh. My nature also rejoices. You can have the understanding, Sadhu. Yeah. Oh, then.
Susan is coming to join.
Who?
Susan is going to join.
Oh, okay, Sadhu. Very good. Before I forget, Pamasuri, I think our this lunch, we may have to cancel for the timing.
No, I just call
Stephen. You tell him.
Postpone.
Postpone. Better. Because now still not.
Until a further date.
Yes.
Comfortable.
Very good. Sadhu. So that's why I want to let you know before we forget. Oh, Susan is here now. I saw Susan already. Anything else, Pawasri?
No, 31st, can we go to Paris
back? Can, no problem. Come. Come to my house.
Self and Tuna.
Yeah, can. Then if a few more Kavita want to come, you can come. But not too many, because still under CMCO. Just let me know. Sadhu.
Yeah, I will make some arrangements.
Okay, you make arrangements. Can, no problem. Then Susan, yes. Susan.
Hello,
Sadhu.
You're well?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, good.
Sadhu. I saw you also look very good now, Sadhu, Susan. Yeah.
I was just sick yesterday.
Oh, you just recovered. Oh, Sadhu.
Yeah, but okay. One day.
One day, okay.
One day out of commission.
Oh.
Now I'm okay.
Then it's okay because you can have a good rest. Now you know how to rest.
Yeah.
Sadhu.
That's right.
Yeah. So you want to say anything for the fellowship? Fellowship is for you to say or share whatever, then also propose some improvement to the Zoom video conference and all those things. Give suggestion or share your experience of the Dhamma, then general comment of how you have developed the benefits of all this sharing and how you would like to propose how we can improve it further by doing some other suggestions of sharing.
For the moment, nothing comes to mind.
Oh, then never mind.
Very well, Brother.
Oh, Sadhu, that is very beautiful. Sadhu.
Yeah, it's doing very well.
Yeah, Sadhu. That is a very good, joyous message. We should all rejoice, Sadhu, to Susan. From the way you have
it's
your...
It's good that, Brother Teo, it's good that with the MCO and the, all this CMCO... Actually, it has given us a lot of opportunity to practice.
Yeah, it's a blessing in disguise.
There's always two sides to a coin.
Yeah, right. That's why you must look at life differently from both sides.
Right.
Then you will understand.
Not which we will be, busy about everything.
Yeah. You will be running around everywhere.
Yes, that's right, definitely. So for this good 6-8 months, it is very good, and I think it's very, very helpful.
Yeah, helpful.
To everyone.
Yes, it's a blessing in disguise for many.
And even so, now I notice that many teachers have come out.
Yeah.
To teach.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. Correct. It's very different now. The consciousness has evolved.
It has evolved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And much more things will happen in the future.
Right.
Because that consciousness is very different now. For those who are keen on the Dhamma, who has the understanding, the faith and the affinity, they will move very fast. Because the teaching now is different. Now the teaching goes into different depth that last time we cannot teach. Just now, Padmasuri can understand my last part. The last part is not easy for people to understand. The last part is very deep, very deep. It's for the true cultivator of the way, the Bodhisattva. Sadhu. Very good.
Kan'en.
Now you also learn.
So
the Mandarin Kan'en.
Sharing all your teachings.
We should thank all Kayamita too for making all this possible. Sadhu. Thank you for your good sharing.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Susan. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Colin, Colin. Long time haven't hear from you, Colin. You can come in.
Hi, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
Yeah,
just now Tammy say she learned from you. Very good. Yeah.
Sorry, I was away for a short while. Just
never mind. Tammy say he learned from you how to ask the great beings to help. Must have faith first. So he was very inspired. He said that one helped her.
I do that quite a lot.
Yeah, sadhu, yes.
Especially at construction
sites. Yeah. Sadhu.
In fact, today we did another round of tests for the workers because of the new SOP. So we just conducted about 200 workers to redo again all the tests.
Wow, very good.
So we just finished it this morning.
Very good. Sadhu. Oh no, it's okay. The line is okay. I think your children are in the background. I thought somebody else did mute the mic. It's actually okay. It's okay. It's from your side.
Okay.
No problem. You can continue, Colin.
I think there's also one more thing I would like to share is I would like to say thank you. Thank you very much for all your teaching and your sharing. Because initially I was thinking back early in February.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I could attend the class in Cameron Highland. So I was wondering, so I did this way and asked for the blessing.
It materialized.
So luckily this year, got more opportunity.
Yeah, CMO, yeah. Sadhu.
Yeah, so everything unfolded
and
happened for a reason.
Sadhu, yes. Sadhu, yeah. Very good.
So there's actually one. Do we have time?
Have time. You can continue.
So,
yeah. No problem.
Okay, this is an observation that I had lately. It was actually also my father. My father and 4 years ago, he found two dogs in the park. And these two dogs, he wanted to give to my children to play. So the puppy grew up. The puppy are very naughty. They start to dig holes in my father's garden and start to bite his number plate. And my father reacted and start to beat the dog. He beat the dog.
So
the dog knows. The more he beat the dog, the more the dog bite his car number plate. Very quiet. So
The dog know.
He became so angry and then he took one of the dog and then he threw away. So these two dogs that they found as puppy are like twins, you know. So when they were separated, one of the dogs as if like become very lonely.
Developed depression. Developed depression.
Like a candle, you know. The lights like separated. So fast forward 4 years later. Lately his house has been a lot of cobras, you know.
That is the comic
to his garden. So every time one cobra come, the dog kill the cobra. Kill the cobra. So not one time, two time and three times. Every time the dog will bark, the dog won't bite the cobra, but the dog will attack the cobra the very moment my father comes out. See my father, he protect him,
kill
the cobra. So he shared this with me So then I told him, you are very lucky because the very dog that you beat end up saving you three
times. Yeah.
So, and somehow you throw away another dog. then he paused for a while. And then he said, he regretted. Then I could feel that the essence of the regret and the sadness. So I started to pray inside my heart. And actually, in a way, rejoice. He realized something.
Correct, yes. We rejoice for your father.
So from that, I understood something. This is actually a karma relationship.
Karmically related.
Between the both of them.
Yeah.
And from there, I look back at myself and Also the same. Also yeah. The same. This is our karma relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we argue, and we fight.
Correct.
Talking to each other for
correct.
Many years.
Yes.
And the very person that he scolded, he left
his company with protect him. Yeah.
The one he protect one end up taking away his company.
Yeah.
He has nothing to do.
Yeah.
So it's a karma relationship that I correct. Observe, that I learn.
You contemplate it and learn.
It's a very beautiful thing because I don't react to it. I just see as if like the four noble truths.
Yeah, let it unfold. That's how you will learn.
Things that arise and with the understanding how to live life. I think it's a very beautiful thing that I've learned from you
and
all the Kayamitas.
Sadhu.
So these are some of the simple observations that I've
very
seen.
Very good.
I realized. So the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eight Above is the way of living.
Life, yes.
Yeah, and I apply.
Very good, Sadhu.
I'm very, very grateful for this.
Just
a simple observation.
Yeah, good. Let us rejoice. Yeah. Sadhu. Wow, thank you for the good sharing, Colin. Sadhu.